And that song's easy to sing, hard to practice. But hey, we serve a God who is faithful even when we're not faithful. And He gives us all kinds of reason and all kinds of evidence that we can trust in Him. This is when we release our children and volunteers to Children's Church. So I want to invite you guys to head back in that direction. Praise the Lord, what a good group. Those of us that are left, if you would take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, we're in a series called A Journey of Faith. And that's what we are called to. Jesus said, anyone who wishes to come after me must first deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. There's movement that's supposed to take place. There's a journey that's supposed to happen. Sometimes it's physical, but always spiritual. But we are called to be on a journey of faith. And as we look at the aspects of this journey and the things that we should expect and the things that we should follow and do, we decided, man, what better life to look at than the author, not the author, but the father of our faith, Abraham. And we've been looking at the life of Abraham and in his journey of faith and how our journey of faith should resemble a lot of what he's done. Now, he may not call us to move some 1,600 miles away. He might. But he always calls us to walk by faith and to trust in him. And to give him opportunity to show himself faithful, to give him opportunities to show himself powerful, to give him opportunities to keep the promises that we say we believe that he will keep. And God has given us all kinds of promises in his word, and he wants to keep those. But the problem is we don't see God moving in our lives many times because we are not willing to walk by faith. We're not willing to put ourselves in a position where God has to keep his word. Or we're going to fall flat on our face. Or we're going to be in a mess. But God always leads us to walk by faith. Not blind faith, but faith in the one who calls us. The faith in the one who is leading. And so we've been looking at the life of Abram. He's not been changed his name. Or God has not changed his name to Abraham yet. We've been looking at the life of Abram. And we've seen where God moved Abram from the land of Ur, the city of Ur, down in the southwest, and moved him up to Haran, which is about 800 miles, and near the land of Canaan, where God wanted him to go, but he wasn't called yet. His dad just moved up there. God had put it in his dad's heart to get him there, get him close to the launching point. And then after his father died, he was given the call of God to go to a land in which I'm going to show you. I'll be your God, and if you'll obey me, and if you'll just follow me, I will give you the land to your descendants, and I'll give you descendants as numerous as the stars are in the sky. That's found in the end of chapter, or in chapter 11 and chapter 12. Then we saw where Abraham followed, and he went into the land of Canaan, and between Bethel and Ai, he built two altars. One, he built and he established it and said, hey, God has been faithful and he's brought us here. Then he moved a little bit further over between Bethel and Ai, and he built another one, and there he called upon the name of the Lord. He began to worship God, and that's where he's declaring, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to follow God. God's been faithful to get us here, so we're going to continue in obedience and faithfully following the Lord. Those are the significance of those two altars. And we said that last week we looked at those and the importance of them as spiritual markers. That, hey, God does things in our life, and when we follow by faith, he shows up and he does what he says he'll do. And we need to plant a spiritual marker, and we need to share with our children. We need to share with our faith family. We need to share with people, hey, God put it on my heart to do this. I didn't know how it was going to work out, and I did it. God kept his promise. Boom, spiritual marker planted. God is faithful. Then sometimes our spiritual marker is where we recommit our lives to follow him. God has shown up, God has done, and we reestablish, God, you've been faithful so far, so God, I'm recommitting to the promise I made at salvation. I'm going to follow you faithfully. I'm recommitting my life to you. And that's what the significance of the second altar. It was another spiritual marker where he recommitted his faithfulness to God, recommitted his dedication to God, recommitted his plan, his desire, his purpose to continue to follow God because God has been faithful. Then we saw how circumstances led Abraham to make a decision to leave there and go to Egypt. And in the Old Testament, if you read through the Old Testament, you see Egypt is a place where people run from God. And God used Egypt to bring the Israelites up to a nation, but they were in bondage. Egypt always represents a place of bondage. And so Abraham leaves the Negev, goes through the Negev, the wasteland, the desert place, and there's a famine, so he wound up going down to Egypt. He lied, he didn't trust God. And God was faithful anyway. And the last thing we saw was he left Egypt and he came back up to Ai, to where the altar was. He came back to the place he was before. He came back to that spiritual marker. And the importance of spiritual markers is that it's not just a declaration, but it's a place we can go back to. We can look back and say, hey, God was faithful there. Or we can go back again to, we've gotten off track and we're unfaithful to God and we know we are, so we just want to get back to where we were and where we can get back on track. And God uses those spiritual markers for us to get back on track. And that's where we find Abram today. We're going to begin in chapter 13, verse 1. And Abram has come back after his wandering down in Egypt, after his unfaithfulness to God and lying to Pharaoh. And seeing God's faithfulness, he comes back to Bethel. He comes back to the place where he worshiped God. So if you would stand with me, we're getting in verse 1 of chapter 13. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, and he and his wife and all that belonged to him, and Lot with him. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and gold. He went on his journey from the Negev as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place where the altar which he had made there formerly. And there he called upon the name of the Lord. He worshipped. Now Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. And the lands could not sustain them while they were dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now the Canaanite and the Perizzite were dwelling then in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please, let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right. Or if to the right, then I will go to the left." Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, that it was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other, and Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, "Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward, eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about in the land through its length and its breadth, for I will give it to you." Then Abram moved his tent and came to dwell by the oaks of Mamre, which is in Hebron. And there he built an altar to the Lord. You may be seated. So Abram has made his journey down into Egypt, and he's come back to the place where he determined that he would follow the Lord, he would trust the Lord, he would continue to obey the Lord. He rededicated himself. It says there verse 4 that Abraham called on the name of the Lord. He again began to worship. He had been off out in Egypt. He had been out of God's will. God didn't send him there. He decided to go there because it was a logical thing to do during a famine. There's plenty of food in Egypt, so he went down there. But when you're outside of God's will, when you're going where God didn't send you, you're not going to be faithful to the Lord. I can attest to that. You can't do right and run from God at the same time. It's just not possible. So Abram lied to Pharaoh, but God was faithful. God blessed him anyway. And so Abram comes back to this place where he had dedicated his family to the Lord. He had dedicated himself to the Lord, and he rededicates. He worships again the God who is faithful, even in the midst of his unfaithfulness. And church, we need to remember, God is always faithful. And there have been many times in my life, and if you're honest with yourself and take a spiritual evaluation, God has been faithful to you even when you haven't been faithful to Him. God is gracious and merciful. And for His children, that doesn't mean He was really good to us when we were in rebellion. But even His discipline is an act of His love. It's an act of His faithfulness. He won't let His children just wander out into the wilderness and be okay with it. Be happy there. You're going to be miserable when you're outside of the will of God for your life. And so he calls Abram back, and he brings him back to the place where he worships. And there becomes a problem, because God has blessed Abram so much, and He's blessed Lot so much, who is his nephew who's with him, that man, they're become so full of livestock, and the land becomes so full, they can't feed all their animals. They're arguing over pasture land. Now, remember, this isn't pasture land like Bobby's got out in his pasture, where it's knee-deep and belly-deep to cows on ryegrass. This is a place that's arid, it's dry. And there's little stubs of grass here and stubs of grass there. And what the shepherds do is they just continually move the sheep. And the sheep eat a little bit as they go. And they get enough to sustain themselves. But if you've got too many sheep, it overgrazes what little grass there is. And so they begin to fight over who was going to get the best grass. The herdsmen would. Now, when we're following God and when we trust God, this is fixing to hit home. We don't worry about what's rightfully ours. See, Abram is the one that was called. Abram was the one who received the promise. But when the strife rose up between him and his nephew Lot and their herdsmen, he was the peacemaker. He stepped up and said, "Lot, I have the right to choose first. I have the right to the best of the land. I have the right, because I'm the one that's called, you're just a tag along. I'm the oldest, you're the youngest. I have the right to choose, but I'm going to lay aside my right and give you first choice." Now, how could Abram do that? Why would Abram do that? Very simple. He trusted the one who had called him. God said, "I will provide for you. I will be your God. I will give you the land. I will bless your herds and your flock. I will clear out the enemies here. I will protect you. I will provide for you." So he didn't have to claim what was rightfully his. He just trusted God to give him what he needed. I'll tell you, some of the saddest experiences I've had were with families that are fighting over inheritance. Christians who think it's rightfully mine and I'm going to fight for it. Abram was able to say, "Lot, it's rightfully my choice. It's rightfully mine, but I trust God enough that He's going to give me what I need. He's going to keep His word. So you have the freedom to pick anywhere, any place you want. You get first choice, and wherever you go, I'll go in the opposite direction. If you go west, I'll go east. If you go north, I'll go south. I'll take the leftovers that this world has to offer so that I can experience what God has promised to give. He's going to give me what I need. Regardless of whether I claim my right to choose." So he gave up his right to be a peacemaker. And he allowed Lot to choose. Now Lot had been blessed by God. Lot had been walking with Abraham. He had been following with Abraham. And he knew the promise of Abraham. He knew what God had been doing. God had been blessing him just like he had been blessing Abram. But yet when the opportunity came to choose, Abram graciously said, he gave him grace to choose whatever he wanted, And he chose the best that the world has to offer. It says that when he began to look down into the valley of the Jordan River, and he saw that all of the valley of the Jordan River was well watered, plenty of grass, green, beautiful. There was the cities around Sodom and Gomorrah, man. It was the place, there was everything to do. And he said, I want that because it's the best the world has to offer. That's what I'm going to pursue. It says it was just like the Garden of Eden before the fall. It was beautiful. It was lush. It was plush. It was full of good things. It says it was also just like the land of Egypt near the valley of Zoar. Now again, if you read and you notice as you read through the history of Israel and the Old Testament, Egypt is always the place of bondage. Got a lot to offer. Very, very full of stuff, very good land around the Nile, plenty of food, just, man, the strong nation. It looked good. And Lot wanted what Egypt had to offer. Lot wanted what the world had to offer. He was focused on getting the best rather than trusting God. I've got the chance to choose the best, so I'm going to go after the best. Oh, Abram, he's old, he's senile, he don't know what he's doing. But he chooses to move into the valley, even into the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the text reminds us that the men of Sodom and Gomorrah were exceedingly wicked. But yet he was willing to bring his family in the midst of this wickedness so that he could have everything that the world has to offer. Rather than trusting God to provide what he needs. Dads, I'm going to ask you something. What are you compromising in your family chasing what the world has to offer? Dad, you are the spiritual leader of your home. And you have a choice. You can trust God to provide what you need and honor Him with where you are and what you do and where you lead your family. Or you can pursue the world, the best it has to offer. And you can chase after that and put your family in jeopardy spiritually. You may give them the best stuff, the most activities, the funnest sports, the greatest opportunity for a college scholarship. But they're spiritually bankrupt because you've kept them chasing the world and what it has to offer rather than pursuing God. It's not just dads, it's moms too. But dad, it's your responsibility to be the spiritual guardian of your family. It's your responsibility to teach them what's important. And you don't just teach them by bringing them to church. Church attendance is not what's important. It's honoring God with your life and the pursuit of your life is what's important. That's where they'll learn the faithfulness of God. When you plant those spiritual markers and you talk about those spiritual markers, you show them and you explain to them how God has shown up, how God has been faithful. I didn't know how it was going to work out, but I knew this is what God wanted me to do. I was honoring God and His Word. And yeah, we don't do those things. We don't go those places. We don't sacrifice going to church. It's not because church is important. It's because God we worship is important. He is our priority. God has been faithful in the middle of it. But just like Lot, so many of us choose the best that the world has to offer and put our family in jeopardy. Put our children and their spiritual life, their eternity in jeopardy because we think the stuff of this world is so important. I'm just going to tell you, a college scholarship ain't that important. Successful career, not that important. Not successful in the world's eyes. Be careful what you choose to pursue. Lot chooses to go into the valley and he moves his tent. It says it moves his tent as far as the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. He doesn't just move down near, he moves into all the big city. He moves into the best that seems the world has to offer. He moves to the place where there's great trade and plenty of opportunity to make a lot of money and to be successful and steal plenty of stuff or plenty of pasture land out there in the valley for his herdsmen to keep all of his sheep and stuff. And he can live it up and be in the place of comfort and the place of luxury, the place of worldly pursuit. Now, Peter tells us in his letter that Lot was a righteous man. Lot loved the Lord, but he chose poorly to where he'd take his family. Set his eyes on the wrong thing. So Abram, after Lot makes his choice, Abram is fine. He says, okay, he's gone to the valley, I'm going to go to the hill country. I'm going to go to the place where it's more arid. I'm going to go to where it seems like my sheep wouldn't have enough. I'm going to go to the place. I told him he could pick the best. I'm taking what's left over. And I'm telling you, when you follow God, the leftovers are more than enough. Now, siblings, oh, you may be like me and you ain't got much inheritance to look forward to. My folks ain't got no whole bunch of money. But I'm going to tell you, fighting over your inheritance and getting what you think you deserve and fighting over who's going to get the best of what your parents leave and giving up the harmony, the peace, and the love of brothers and sisters is in no way, no form honoring God. You let them have what they want. It's just stuff. It don't matter. And you honor God. You be a peacemaker. Like the psalmist says, I'd rather eat bread and water in the tent of the righteous than to feast among the wicked. It's just stuff. Don't get hung up on the stuff. Don't pursue what the world says is important. Pursue God and godliness. Honor Him, and He will keep His word. He'll provide you what you need. He will bless you more than you can ever imagine. It may not be in material stuff, but He will bless you in peace and love and joy. He will bless you with His presence. And the most important blessing is to stand before Him at the end of our life. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You didn't worry about the junk of this world, all the trinkets of gold and silver. You invested in what mattered for eternity. And I'm so proud of you. You are a peacemaker. You're truly a son of God. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of the Most High. Don't get hung up on the things of this world like Lot and put your family, your spiritual life in jeopardy. Christians can do the same thing. So beware. So Lot chooses and he goes. And when he goes to this place and he moves opposite to the less desirable in the view of the world and the world's eye, he goes there and God restates His promise. Man, isn't that amazing? He shows up in this place and he pitches his tent. And look what God says. Verse 14. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from it, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I'll give it to you and your descendants forever. He restates the promise of the call that He gave him. You follow me and you wander through this land. I'm going to lead you to a land where I'm going to give to you and to all of your descendants. And at this point, when he had the opportunity to choose what the world says is best or just be a peacemaker, let Lot choose and then let God provide, he honored God with the choice and God restates His promise. Look around you. You have finally arrived. You're right where I want you to be. You're in the right heart, the right state of mind, the right pursuit, the right focus. So look around now. Look to the north, the east, south, and the west. Everything you see, this is the land I'm going to give you. It still got the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and all the other ites in it. You don't have a son yet, but I'm going to give it to you. You'll just keep trusting me. So go ahead, walk through it. Enjoy it. Journey through it. Enjoy it. All of this is going to be your descendants. Now notice he didn't say, Abraham, I'm going to give, or Abram, I'm going to give it to you. You're going to enjoy the possession of all this land. He says, no, I'm going to give it to your descendants. But Abraham was faithful because he was looking, as it says in Hebrews, a land that was not yet, a city that was yet to come. Christian, that's our faith journey. See, our hope is not in this land. Our home is not this place. We're still looking by faith to the land, the city to come, the New Jerusalem. And when we keep looking to what God has promised, the New Jerusalem, when we keep looking and focusing on heaven and not focusing on what this world has to offer, then we can follow in faith because this is not our home. This is not what we're pursuing. This is not our passion. This is not our possession. We're just journeying through it just like Abram. And honor him and look forward to the place that we've been promised. Look forward to that home that he's preparing for us, as Jesus said in John 14. If I go, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's our focus. That's our passion. That's our hope. Not this mess down here. Too often we're like Lot. And we focus on what this world has to offer and sacrifice the treasures of heaven. Now, how do we get treasure in heaven? Well, you take what God's given you and invest it in kingdom things. What was it he told the rich young ruler? Take all your world possessions, sell them and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. He wasn't telling you don't need to be rich. He just said you need to have a future focus. You need to have an eternal focus. He was hung up on the things of this world because it says the rich young ruler, his countenance fell and he left away sad because he had a lot of stuff. See, when we're focusing on the kingdom of God, we become willing to sacrifice what the world has to offer and just trust God to give what we need and to get us to the place he's got us going. That's our focus. The land to come, the city to come, where our citizenship is. See, that's the focus of our faith journey. On this journey, we've got to lift our eyes off of here and now and look to heaven and the kingdom of God rather than just getting all we can here. I'm going to tell you, I'm not immune to it. I'm struggling with it right now. And I'm really wrestling with God on what to do now. It's a struggle. I get it. I'm just like you. What does God want me to do? How hung up am I on the things of this world? How hung up am I on the house, on land, or inheritance, or just the stuff of this world, and it keeps me off of and out of the things that God has for me? Young people, I just want to tell you, that's going to be the hardest struggle of your faith journey. It's when you've got the choice to choose like Abram or Lot. What are you going to choose? Potential for a really high-paying job, but you know that's not what God has for you. Are you going to sacrifice family, eternity, kingdom stuff, for the things that the world has to offer? The fun, the possessions, the cars, the house, the trips, the vacations. Are all those more important than what God has for you? Just honoring God, trusting Him to provide, keeping your focus on what really matters for eternity. Francis Chan used an illustration one time, and I wish I'd have thought to bring the rope. He had an illustration one time talking about the difference between now, this life and eternity. And he had his long rope, and it was just stretched out for a long ways. And the last 2 inches of it, he had wrapped in red tape. And that white rope just ran out all for a long ways, all around the stage and out the door. And you couldn't find the other end of it. And he says, look, this represents eternity. This rope represents eternity. This little 2 inches of red tape represents our life. The Bible says, and the older I get, the more I understand it, that life is but a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Years have condensed to weeks now. Christmas comes around about every 6 months now. And days are long, but weeks are short. Years are even shorter. It's amazing. January is almost gone. But we focus on these 2 inches we call life. And we forget about all the rest of eternity that is so much infinitely longer. And this becomes our emphasis and our focus. These 2 inches. Where's your focus at today? What are you pursuing? Are you on a faith journey of obedience and following God, trusting Him? Are you pursuing the things of this world? Is your focus there rather than what God has for you? Are you so busy trying to provide more for your kids than you had? And that's such a disservice to your children. They need to learn to struggle. They need to learn to trust God. Teach them how to trust God. That's the best gift you can give them. But it begins. It only happens when we start that faith journey. And it happens when you submit to your heart and your life to Jesus. He died on the cross to save us from our sins. He died on the cross to give us the opportunity to walk in fellowship with the Creator of the world. He died so that we might be forgiven. And until we submit our heart and our life to Him, we can't get on this faith journey. You're on a journey, but it's going to a place you're not really hoping to go. The Bible says, seek the narrow gate. For narrow is the way, and narrow is the gate that leads to heaven. But wide is the gate, and wide is the way, and many that find it that leads to destruction. The only way we can get on the narrow path is through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Are you on the right journey? Are you on the right path? If you are, where's your passion? Where's your pursuit? Are you walking in faith, or are you pursuing the things of this world? Are you laying up treasure in heaven? Are you trying to get a big inheritance in retirement so you can relax and have fun? Where's your focus? Let's journey in faith. Let's stand.